This is KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, here on NPR One.
Hi, I'm Bea Jaramillo, Director of Human Resources at the Hilton Austin.
Hello, I'm Anthony Ibarra, Assistant Director of Food and Beverage here at the Hilton Austin.
Hi, I'm Joe Bolash. I'm the General Manager of the Hilton Austin.
Tell us about what's close to your heart about here, what you're most proud of in a real authentic way about the Hilton.
You know, it really starts with our culture, not only at this hotel, but for Hilton Hotels in general. We try to offer a workplace that allows our team members to thrive in body and mind and spirit. We find that that's where we get the most engaged team members. That's where we find the most team members that are able to create those memorable moments for guests, because you really need your team to outperform their own expectations. You know, if you really want to wow somebody, it takes some investment. You have to be emotionally willing to go above and beyond time after time after time. And if you are engaged in what you do, if you enjoy what you do, if you enjoy the people you do it with, and specifically the community that you're in, then wow, the results are really tremendous. And this hotel is a great example. We won Hilton's highest accolade in 2017, the Connie Award, named after Conrad Hilton. And primary amongst the criteria there is our involvement in the community.
Stick with employees for a moment. You talked about that kind of engagement, empowerment. And the acid test is your retention of employees.
Absolutely. And we are proud to boast a low industry-wide turnover here. And to get into more some of those specifics, I'll turn it over to our Director of Human Resources, Bea Jaramillo.
Certainly, the culture here is something that we are very proud of. And we have a mission here at the Hilton Austin that is tense from our guests and tense for each other. We want our guests to always have the best experience. We would like for them to rate us a 10 always. But we also want to provide that same service for each other, to take care of each other. And that culture has been very strong here. And next month, we will be celebrating service awards for our team members. And we actually have about 450 full-time team members. And of those 450, we have this year, we are honoring about 115 team members for their service. And we have about 45 team members who will be receiving their 15-year award, and about almost 40 team members that are receiving a 5-year award, and so on, a couple of 30-year awards. But that says a lot about our culture and why people stay here is really about how well we take care of them and each other. It's quite an honor when you are in a city amongst many universities where there are many students who come and go, but our team members have chosen to stay here.
That's really fascinating, and I was just thinking, there are Texas towns that are smaller than the population of the Hilton employees.
That is true.
So it really is a community in itself, the behind the scenes, the back of the house.
And what keeps that community going is not only the culture, but the team. As Bea mentioned, and I'll give it a little more color, about 45 team members receiving their 15-year pin for this hotel means that they have been here since the hotel opened. So about one out of every 10 of our full-time team members has been here the entire time that this hotel has operated, which gives us that base, gives us that culture that's easy to build on. These are team members that can model all the right behaviors and the way that we treat each other and the way that we get involved in our community.
Looking in from the outside, I would imagine, it goes without saying, that makes your job easier because these people have a sense of ownership, of engagement, where you don't have to push as hard.
Truly unique and rare, the amount of team member engagement here at the Hilton Austin. It's the reason that this hotel won the Connie. It's the reason that so many team members clamor to work here. We have really a special team, and you know, it's built on their engagement in what they do and working for the recently number one ranked company to work for in the U.S. So
wow, that's fascinating. Maybe you don't know the answer why, but why? You know, I mean, if you could find that answer, it could do wonders for the industry.
Sure. I think a large part of it is the amount of latitude that we give team members to dictate back to the management team the events and the things that we sponsor in the community. For example, the hotel is now entering its fifth year, its partnership with Travis High School, where we not only bring students that are studying hospitality into our hotel, offer them internship experiences, offer them work experiences, provide mock interviews in the classroom, but it allows our team to interact with students, and they really get excited about that. And not only Travis High School, but the Ronald McDonald's House, the Nature Conservancy of Austin, Sammy's House, Bowie High School, the Boys and Girls Club of Central Texas, the Capital Area Boy Scouts, the Center for Child Protection. The list is literally dozens of organizations long, and when I see the work that we do, and I'll turn it over to Bea to expand on our relationship and partnership with Caritas and really helping individuals build not only a career, but a life here in the United States.
At this particular property, we have about 25 different languages because we have team members that come from all over the world. And this is sometimes their very first job, the very first time they have to learn how to read a schedule or how to fill out a tax form, much less have to wear a uniform. But certainly it creates a great environment for the rest of our team. And they're so prideful to see the different cultures that come together. And they're just so excited to be here. And it makes everyone just kind of come together as a team for the great cause of giving excellent service to our guests. And in return, they get great benefits and a great work environment, free meals, and lots of rewarding opportunities here at the Hilton Austin for those team members.
That's really cool. So they feel the love and they feel their self-worth.
Absolutely. And it creates a large loyalty to us, to the company. And Hilton Worldwide just provides so many fascinating benefits like maternity pay, paternity pay, you know, 100 room nights to stay at, you know, Hilton's across the world. So lots of great reasons to want to be here.
You know what's really fascinating is everything you guys are talking about and have talked about is not rocket science. The answers are not complex as to how you empower employees.
Very, very true. And my first GM in the business had two words on his desk, just be nice. And that was really his axiom that he used. No matter the situation, no matter the team member, no matter the guest, it's our job to be nice and embrace each other and embrace what we do and have a passion for what we do.
Tell us a little bit more, Bea, about your world and your engagement in the community.
I absolutely love what I do because it's really about that whole be nice. You know, it's about really making a difference in people's lives. They spend so much time here at work, and you want to make sure that when they're here, they feel cared for, valued, and respected. And so we thrive on a lot of things that form recognition. And a couple of simple things are people love food. They love photos. So any opportunity that we have to take their photo and post it, we have our own Instagram page for our team members, and they love seeing themselves on social media, love seeing themselves posted on a wall somewhere, for all the team members to gather and just look at them, and they want a copy of that photo too. But it's that type of engagement that really keeps our culture going and growing. And I'll tell you that we track the number of events that we do that are engagement events, recognition, rewarding, community. Last year, my goal was to have 115 events, and we ended the year with 178. So obviously, 2019 is a big year, right? We're going to have to hit it even higher, but it's fun. You can't not want to be a part of something like that.
Somebody told me that you guys make intrinsic in your model engagement with nonprofits and greater good stuff in the community.
That is true. You know, we have, as I said, over 400 team members. And if you talk to 20 different team members, every one of them has a different cause that they're interested in. They have a different, perhaps, ailment that is in their family or an illness or something that is near and dear to them. So we certainly cover a lot of ground when it comes to the different organizations that we try to assist, a lot of non-for-profit organizations. And we really do try to touch everyone's heart with everything that we do. We allow them to volunteer. We allow them to raise funds. We make donations. We have had great opportunities to go out there and present checks for $5,000, $10,000 to these organizations, just straight up monetary funds.
Yeah, and those donations kind of bridge, for me, the two elements that really create engagement and really create careers instead of just jobs for our team. And that's, if you look at Bowie High School, again, I mentioned that our team is really energized by being able to interact with the students and show them what they do and be the teacher, so to speak, for a day while they're here with us. But that partnership, and we donate $10,000 a year to Bowie High School to help build their classroom and their facilities for their hospitality students, that focus on learning and development, that focus on really growth within our industry is something that not only is embraced here, but it's embraced by our company. And the numerous times that I've been given in my career and that I've seen throughout our industry, in our company, those opportunities that Hilton provides for you to take classes, to learn, to grow, to try something new within our industry is really unparalleled. And the amount of team members that I know that came into our industry because they needed a job, and 10, 15, or like myself, almost 30 years later in our industry, you have a career and a wonderful one, and one that I can't wait to get work every single day, and it's just been a wonderful ride.
I love it. Back to your high school engagement, internships and whatnot, have you had kids that then went on and became employees here?
We actually have one. I'd be surprised if you didn't see him at the door. His name is Garrett. He was a Bowie High School intern and is now a bellman, and is very excited about perhaps going into events, and in fact is going to be part of a training that he will then soon be able to go into that role at some point. We have some culinary students who were high school culinary students at Travis High School that have gone on to work for us and will go on to culinary school and perhaps someday be a chef for Hilton.
One more thing about the Hilton world. You can rotate. If you always wanted to go to Hawaii or Hong Kong, you could do that, right?
Absolutely. We actually have a lot of, especially on our management team, a lot of managers who have transferred here from other properties. You know, last year, Hilton Austin promoted out almost 50 employees, and many of those went to Florida. We've had people go to Hawaii, up in Dallas. I mean, they're just all over. They're everywhere. And we actually have a program that we're starting called the Hilton Austin Alum, Where Are They Now? Because we get to share with the rest of our team how great the possibilities are and how many possibilities there are to be more and do it across the world.
I just find it so fascinating. Looking from the outside, a corporate entity is an inanimate, inhuman thing. It's not people, but ultimately it is, and that's what makes Hilton what it is, isn't it? Very much the human element.
Oh, 100%. And in fact, you know, we think of ourselves as a hospitality company and not a hotel company, and we emphasize the hospitality because that's the human element. That's the part where we're making personal connections, not only with our guests but with each other. And it's those interactions, it's those connections that keep us strong as a hotel, strong as a company, and continuing moving forward as we look at 2020 and beyond.
So all the things that work in the Hilton model, be if you left and started your own little business in town, you would probably take with you a lot of that infrastructure of why it works.
I believe so. If it was my own company, I would certainly always think outside the box and do all these great things that we've always done. I don't know that there's another company out there like Hilton that would support all the things that we do here, because we really are different. We have to be different. There's too many other opportunities and options for people to go to. So once we have them, we want to build that loyalty and keep them here. But certainly, I do believe that Hilton is different from everyone else. That's why we are number one across the country as the great place to work and number two in the world.
That's pretty impressive.
It really is, and it's an honor for us to be a part of it, and certainly starts at the top with our CEO, Chris Nassetta, and his vision. Really rewarding to see that come to fruition as a company just a few days ago, and again, couldn't be prouder to be a part of it.
As we all know, our world is changing so fast that we're kind of all dizzy. And part of that is engagement on social media, which is essential to survive in this world.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the social media aspect has not only touched the hotels, but the restaurants as well. Most of us, before dining out, before traveling, before doing anything, what we'll do is we'll go to the internet and we'll look at one of the various review sites on what we want to do, where we want to go, and how we want to do it. And that affects us on a daily basis, for better or for worse. So it's something that's on top of our mind at all time, keeping an eye on those on a daily basis. Because in this world we live in today, it only takes one review for it to go viral, or one picture for it to go viral. But in a positive way, that can also have a very, very positive impact on your business as well.
What works best for you? Facebook?
We use a few outlets. We use Facebook. We use Instagram. Instagram has really taken off lately. Twitter, not so much in the restaurants, but people, they eat with their eyes. So if it looks good, they want to come and try it. Facebook works really, really well when we're putting on events. For example, we had a bourbon event a couple nights ago with Ben Milam out of Blanco, Texas, that went extremely well. Heavily marketed through social media. And when you market it properly through social media, a lot of the regular media outlets in town pick it up. We also have a bullet bourbon dinner coming up at the end of March that we're also, again, marketing heavily. So a lot of those things people like to Instagram and put it out there, sometimes on Snapchat for the really new generation. But it does a lot of wonders for us, definitely.
I know that social media is something that our team focuses on. So from a team member perspective, they're very prideful to see our outlets and our hotel show up on their Facebook feed or Instagram or Twitter. And as Anthony said, you know, the younger generation is really into the Snapchat. So seeing some of those instantaneous posts really do make a difference. And as I said earlier, pictures, our team loves pictures. So they really enjoy socializing on that type of network.
The other thing I would add is that from my chair, the general manager's perspective, is that you're always looking for ROI, and you're always trying to define you know, what your investment is in a certain endeavor. And what I will say unilaterally with social media is you can't underestimate their impact. Absolutely have to be engaged and relevant and on top of them at all times. And while the ROI is sometimes a little nebulous in terms of hard dollars and cents,
To track it.
It is absolutely an essential part of the way that we do business now. We're here today talking to Tom Wilmer about the Bourbon Bar here at the Cannon & Bell Restaurant here in the Hilton Austin.
I heard rumors about a new bar that you have here.
Well, that's right, Tom. We couldn't be more excited about the instant success that it's created for the hotel and for the local community. Instead of going with something that was trying to be too many things to too many people, we kind of captured that excitement that's around the original American spirit, which is bourbon. And just the response from our guests, from the local community, has just been outstanding.
So even though bourbon, like you said, is an iconic part of Americana and the South and Kentucky and whatnot, there's a newness to it.
There is a newness, and some of it fueled right here in Texas. We have outstanding bourbon distillers that are right here adjacent to Austin and Dripping Springs. And just the cult of bourbon that's growing, in particular, we'll find amongst our international travelers a real curiosity, a genuine want to discover that American experience that is bourbon. To talk a little bit more in detail about that, I'll turn you over to Anthony Ybarra. Anthony is the genius behind our bourbon bar here at Cannon & Bell Restaurant.
Yeah, as Joe said, it's something that's not only unique to America, but Texans really get behind bourbon. We like to call it drinking brown water. It's something that continues to get better on a day-by-day basis. Everybody was drinking a lot of craft beer about 5-10 years ago, and bourbon seems to have started to fill that niche a little bit. So what we've done is not only curated a list of hard-to-find bourbons, but the things that people drink every day. And one thing that is a common practice among bars is taking old cocktails and turning them into something new. So we've found great success in turning a few classic cocktails into brand-new cocktails for us.
So you've actually researched historical menus and recipes.
Definitely. There's some classic recipes out there, Manhattans, Old Fashioned, Sazeracs, things like that. So we have what's called an Autumn Old Fashioned that's our best seller right now. We have a Manhattan that we smoke in-house so that the guests can really get the aroma of the smoke flavor. A lot of things that guests really wakes up their senses.
Since everybody knows that Texas is the center of the universe, it would follow that you have some spotlight on Texas bourbons.
Absolutely. We wanted to stay true to our concept here in Cannonball, which is Tex Fresh. But we've partnered with Garrison Brothers specifically. We took our entire management team out there to the distillery and got a tour of everything. We got to,
where are they?
They're in High Texas, H-Y-E. So that was a great experience for our management team. Next step is getting the staff out to one of the distilleries and getting them involved and getting them hands-on. One thing that's great about having great relationships with our partners is bringing them into the staff. So it's not always feasible to get all the staff out there because we do have a restaurant to run, but the vendors are very, very willing to come out and support and educate our staff.
And again, a 1A question, what is bourbon and how does it differentiate from whiskey?
Bourbon is 51% corn. Whiskey does not have to follow that recipe. So just like champagne and cognac come from France, bourbon has to come from America, has to come from the United States, similar to tequila having to come from Mexico. 51% corn is the recipe, and the rest can be kind of a proprietary mash.
And I seem to remember that the Scots love the bourbon people because they buy the barrels after they're used once. And all bourbon is in new oak.
That's absolutely right. So brand new American oak has to be used in order for it to be called bourbon. And as you said, a lot of scotch is made from old bourbon barrels.
So they can't reuse their barrel.
The people that are making bourbon cannot, but there's plenty of other uses for it. As you said, scotch, rum, some even use tequila. A lot of the new stuff that's coming out right now, they're reusing barrels to kind of impart that flavor on different spirits.
So it follows then again that the oakiness is an integral part of the taste of bourbon.
Absolutely. Charring those barrels and getting that flavor from them, it really all comes from that. That's why you'll see a lot of bars get small barrels and actually age cocktails in them now, because the flavor really is coming from the wood.
Tell us a little bit more about the reaction and the momentum. This is really new. When did you start the bourbon bar?
So we opened the bourbon bar at the end of November.
2018.
Of 2018, yeah. What you didn't see is a few months before that, we had started our research. We started collecting bottles, as I said, bottles that are hard to find. For example, we have the entire Pappy line right now, 10-year, 12-year, 15-year, and 23-year. And our 23-year is actually selling the best because it is the hardest to find. We only get one of those per year. So it's not necessarily a price thing, it's just a hard to find. So getting bottles like that, cask strength, small batch, barrel proof, things of that nature really kind of perk up the ears of bourbon collectors and bourbon connoisseurs. So we're finding that they're coming in from the local community just to get the stuff that they have a hard time finding.
I think that one of the things that Anthony and the team has done very, very well is it's not just a bourbon bar for bourbon aficionados. So it's not just the guy looking for the 23-year Pappy. A wide range of bourbons available, including some of our local partners, as Anthony said, with a price point that invites everyone to enjoy bourbon and really discover it. And you don't need to know everything about bourbon or have that discerning palate. It's a lot of fun just trying some of the locals or trying some of the old standards. And really having our team tell you the story of the cocktail of the bourbon, learning about it along with your guests at the bourbon bar, it's really been a recipe that's wildly successful for our team.
It's kind of a paradox because bourbon is an old classic American drink. There are a lot of young people that never got introduced to it. In your world, have you had that delight in introducing young people to bourbon?
Absolutely. It's something especially you'll see with our staff who have really latched onto it. They always want to learn more. They always want to continue to grow. So again, bringing the vendors in to educate them and teach them more, it actually helps them sell better, which obviously helps out the hotel and it helps out them for tips as well. If they can have a bigger check, then they make a few more dollars every day. So even for myself and some of our other managers, it's really exciting for us to learn something new, to learn a specialty, because as a whole, we're typically looking at all of food and beverage, whereas right now we get to focus on one specific spirit. So it's a lot of fun.
Another question, since you're food and beverage and you're beyond just bourbon, how about flavor balancing and matching and pairing a bourbon with a meal? What would be your first choice?
My food of choice would probably honestly be a dessert. I like the oakiness. I like some of the caramel flavors that come through with it. So I'll find that it pairs really good after dinner with the dessert. Yeah, we have a bourbon bread pudding down in our other restaurant in Austin, Taco Project, that I would probably pair it with. That would be my choice.
And that's got real bourbon in it.
Absolutely, it does. Bourbon's great to cook with.
I love it. And then one more Texas question. Sure. Can you tell a Texas bourbon from a Tennessee or a Kentucky?
So the difference between Texas bourbons and more Kentucky bourbons is Kentucky gets all four seasons. So the way that matters is the barrel expands and contracts based on the seasons, whereas in Texas, it's typically a lot warmer, so you'll get a lot more of the wood flavor because of the hot summers.
More constant.
It's definitely more constant. You'll taste a little bit more piney, woody flavors, whereas in a bourbon from Kentucky, it may be a little bit more well-rounded.
I'll go back to one question before. I almost jumped in with the food pairing. I think what makes Texas particularly a great place to exploit bourbons is I find that the entree that they go best with is barbecue. That thick, unctuous fattiness of a brisket, lightly smoked along with a bourbon or a bourbon cocktail, is just a dynamite combination. And if you haven't, you really do need to try that.
And I imagine it would help kind of smooth out the bourbon,
a little bit of that bite. Depends on how hot you go with your barbecue, yeah. But yeah, certainly the fats and everything in most of the beefs that we barbecue here, specifically brisket, just an outstanding pairing for bourbon.
You're making me hungry.
Me too.
The alcohol content, is that fairly constant in all bourbon?
Alcohol content changes from bourbon to bourbon. Some of the distilleries actually dilute it with water, so when you see barrel proof, a lot of times that's straight out of the barrel into the bottle. If they want it to be a little bit more palatable, they'll dilute it with water a little bit. Some whiskey bars that you go to, they'll actually give you an eyedropper with some water in it to put in the whiskey to mellow it out a little bit, because not everybody can take that bite that a barrel proof bourbon has.
Have you tried one, Bea?
I have. And I thoroughly enjoyed it.
So you'd do it again?
Absolutely.
All right. Any last thoughts on bourbon and Texas bourbon?
No, we just invite you to come out to Cannon & Bell and give us a try. It's a quaint little space. There's 8 seats at our bar, so we do recommend reservations. But we have our mixologists that are very in tune with the guests and work on putting on a show to give you the best experience possible.
So it's really intimate. I'm only 8 seats. That's really cool. So you always get a close-up front row experience.
Definitely. If you can snag a seat at the bar right now, that's definitely where I recommend being. We do offer the bourbon menu in the entirety of the restaurant if you'd like. But if you want the true bourbon experience with one of our bartenders that we've been training, that have taken on the role of learning as well, I would highly recommend sitting at the bourbon bar.
And are there other bourbon bars popping up in Austin and around Texas?
There's a few around. It's definitely a trend that's caught on over the last 5 years, not only in Texas, but in other big cities, San Francisco, Washington, D.C., New York, L.A. There's a couple here in Austin, definitely. Everybody offers something different. We like the intimacy of ours.
Very cool. Well, thank you guys so much for sharing. This has been a wonderful morning.
Thank you very much. This is Anthony Ibarra, Assistant Director of Food and Beverage at the Hilton Austin.
Thank you so much for spending time with us. This is Bea Jaramillo, Director of Human Resources at the Hilton Austin.
And thanks again, Tom. It was a pleasure to have you with us. Joe Bolash, General Manager of the Hilton Austin.
Yo, thanks again. And I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from Austin, Texas. We'll see you down here. The underbed music in this show is performed by Texas Hill Country Country Western musician John Arthur Martinez. To learn more about John's music, log on to johnarthurmartinez.net.
When I hear the music call, play for beer and tips when times are lean, half asleep behind the wheel of my old Chevy van.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
Associate producers include Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada, Molly Blaisdell, San Francisco, and Katya Singel, San Luis Obispo, California.
Played in dance halls. A stranger could get lost in beer joints where I didn't make a dime. I've got a record in a jukebox down in Austin. The waitress says they play it all the time. I've got a friend in every town. I don't mean to brag. Most of them I seldom get to see. And that old Lone Star on that big old Texas flag still ain't as lonesome as me. I'm the loneliest star in Texas. Some say one day I'll fall. There's a million stars in Texas, but I'll outshine them all. Texas. I thought I heard my song, but the station started fading as the DJ put it on. The loneliest star in Texas. Some say one day I'll fall. There's a million stars in Texas, but I'll outshine them all. I'm the loneliest star in Texas, but I'll outshine. Shine.